Last month, the car company Jaguar came out with that commercial on social media. Gender bender people. What in the name of Dylan Mulvaney was that? A bunch of transgender freakazoid catwalk models with stupid slogans like copy nothing and delete ordinary. And notice, funny thing, even though it was a commercial for Jaguar, you never actually saw an actual Jaguar car. And why? Because the point is not selling cars. The point is to show men wearing dresses to try to erase all the differences between male and female. And that kind of DEI claptrap is destroying marriages and families and children. It's destroying this country, and it's destroying the Church of Jesus Christ in this country. Just like the devil wanted it to all along. Well, we're going to start changing that. We're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a short series for Christmas called Recovering Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, looking at Joseph and Mary in the Christmas story. Because even though the main point of the Christmas story, of course, is the birth of Christ, it's not the only point. And Joseph and Mary show us what it really means to be men and women of God. And we're going to start this series this morning by looking at Joseph because he shows us what it really means to be a real man of God. And to see that, we turn today to Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 to 25. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please. Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you that it's true. And I pray you just teach all of us guys here, especially this morning, what it means to be a man of God and how much we need to be those men of God, especially in times like these. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. This part of Matthew chapter 1, we get the start of the Christmas story from the man's perspective, from Joseph's perspective. And our text today tells us what Joseph had to do to make it happen, to bring Jesus Christ into the world. And the Holy Spirit is telling us guys this morning, if we're going to be real men of God who bring Jesus Christ into the world, we need to do exactly the same things that Joseph does here. Our text this morning, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, tells us three things that us guys need to do to be the men of God that He has really called us to be, especially at Christmas time. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that us guys need to do to be a man like Joseph, we need to be a man of God. And that is exactly what we see here in verses 18 to 21. Because just for the record, Joseph was a man. He didn't just think he was a man. He didn't just feel like a man. He didn't just identify as a man along the rainbow spectrum. He was Joseph, not Josephine. So Christmas wasn't Mother Josephine and Father Mary and non-binary baby Jesus with the three genderless wise people and the little drummer them, because God forbid we could ever say boy. The text tells us Jesus, that Joseph's pronouns were he, him. And if you don't like that, you want to doubt the Holy Spirit, your pronouns are going to be was, were. Joseph was a man. Am I going too fast for anybody? Amen. And notice he wasn't just a man, he was a man of God. Verse 18 says he was engaged to Mary. And that betrothal period lasted about a year until the wedding day when the groom went and took his bride back to his house and started canoodling. And that betrothal was considered so legally binding, the couple could change their relationship status on Facebook to married. And any cheating that happened during that time was considered adultery and grounds for divorce. Then verse 19, all of a sudden Mary's got one in the oven. And Joseph figured that she'd just been smashing and had a high body count. But notice, verse 19 also says Joseph was a righteous man, which means that he knew God and he cared about what God's word and God's law said. And he tried to follow it. Doesn't say that he was perfect, but God considered him righteous because God knew what was in his heart. So Joseph had to expose it. And even though they didn't really hardly stone women anymore in Jesus' day for adultery, they did publicly humiliate him by slut-shaming him on Snapchat. So Joseph did want to obey God. He wanted to do the right thing. He wanted to clear his name, but he also wanted to be kind to Mary because he loved her and didn't want to see her trash. So he figured he'd just get a quiet, quickie divorce. Peace out, Mary. It was fun while it lasted. You can even keep the ring. But then verses 20 to 21, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph and said, that baby's conceived by the Holy Spirit because he is the Messiah. So marry his mom and give him the name Jesus. And all you guys who are absolutely obsessed about the way you look, notice, not one single thing in the Bible about what Joseph looked like. Whether he was ripped or not, what kind of phone he had, what kind of truck he drove, whether he was a Bear or a Packers fan, nothing. And why? Because the only thing that mattered, the most important thing of all, Joseph was a man of God. And guys in this room, let me ask you, is that the most important thing about you? Are you really a man of God? And you better be sure, because today the world and the devil are doing everything they possibly can to get you to doubt that you're even a man at all. This world is not down for dudes. And it's demonic, guys. It's a spiritual attack against men that started way back in the Garden of Eden to try to destroy all the power and authority and dominion that God gave you and created you to have and to use in this world. Right now, 9 million boys in America, 9 million are suffering from fatherlessness. No dad in the home. And when they act out, public school just tries to medicate the XY chromosome out of them. You don't have a dad? Here's a pill. And then social justice warriors, formerly known as teachers, tell them that they're girls, and then Dr. Mengele cuts their penis off. So instead of fixing the problem, they just castrate it. And where does that mindset lead? You see it in the video.
Discussing this, especially you say you care about the students, but half of you are not sure what gender is, especially transgender. I know the lawyer said transsexual earlier. That's not the correct term. It's transgender. I'm a transgender woman. My pronouns are she, her, and I will only accept those pronouns. I will not be addressed any other way. I grew up in Christian education all through college. I don't remember any of my doctrinal classes mentioning only male and female, and that's the way it should be.
People, what in the name of Barney the Purple Godzilla is that? That is a man claiming that he is a woman. And that's not just the ultimate rebellion against God. That's delusion straight from the pits of hell. Individual guys calling themselves they, them. Do you know what individual beings in the Bible refer to themselves as plural? They, them, we, us. Demon spirits. Guys, you are a man. And if you doubt that, just look down the front of your pants. You are not a transgender man. You are not a cisgender man. You are not a so-called biological man. Because all that claptrap does is imply that there's some other kind of man other than a real man. And there isn't. You are a man. And to be a man of God, you got to be under the authority of God. Just like Joseph was. So you don't do whatever it is you want to do. You do whatever it is that God wants you to do. You get under his dominion, and then God gives you dominion wherever he places you. Don Beebe is under the authority of God. Because of that, he has authority over the entire football program at Aurora University. Amen. Mark Bowe in our church, he's under the authority of God, and because of that, God gave him authority over an entire farming and livestock operation. Amen. You get under authority, you will be an authority. Too many men in America have authority and dominion, but they are not under authority and dominion. And what's the result? Gazillionaire CEO of Abercrombie & Fitch, Michael Jeffries, just arrested for sex trafficking little kids. Music legend P. Diddy arrested for sexual abuse during all kinds of freakouts. Men who are not under the authority of God, warning, 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 man out of control. Amen. Guys, listen to me. You need to know God. And too many men in America don't. Right now, one out of three 18 to 30-year-old men in this country are called nuns, N-O-N-E-S, because they have no spiritual faith in God whatsoever. Two out of three Christians in the church in America today are women. Two out of three. 13 million more women in the church today than there are men. And 20-something single guys aren't in any churches anywhere. They are as rare as the northern white rhino. And I know there's guys listening to this sermon. You say, Kevin, I got a drinking problem. Kevin, I got a porn problem. I got a wife and a girlfriend. I got baby mama drama. Listen to me. You need a father. Of all the names that God could have chose for us to call him, he picked father. And why? Because he is your father. Guys, he is your heavenly father. And he loved you so much, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on a cross for your sins. And he's got a purpose and a plan for your life. And he created you to have a personal relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Because once you know who he is, then you'll know who you is. And that personal relationship with Jesus Christ is absolutely the number one most important thing in your entire life. I don't care what else you got going on. Last Saturday, the regular season of college football every year is known as Rivalry Saturday. Because a lot of teams all over the country play their biggest rival and the team that they hate the most. Like Georgia, Georgia Tech, Clemson, South Carolina, Alabama, Auburn. One of the biggest rivalries of all is Ohio State versus Michigan. And Michigan won that game the last 3 years in a row. Ohio State coach Ryan Day said that losing to Michigan was the hardest thing he has ever had to deal with after losing his own father. Folks, that's how serious people take that game. And you talk about two teams going in the opposite direction. Ohio State spent over $18 million on some of the best players in the country. Because college football is all about free agency now, just like the NFL. So they had the best team money could buy. And they were ranked number two in the nation. And playing at home in the horseshoe, they were favored by over three touchdowns. And the Michigan Wolverines were just going to be a tune-up on the way to the Buckeyes winning the Big Ten and then the national championship. But then, what do you know? Michigan Wolverines dominated the dream team, both sides of the ball, for four solid quarters. 45 seconds to go in the game, they kicked a game-winning field goal to beat Ohio State for the fourth year in a row and shock the world. Because it wasn't just one of the biggest upsets in the history of that rivalry. It was also one of the biggest upsets in the history of all of college football. And to stick it to Ohio State even more, a Michigan player named Mason Graham grabbed the Michigan flag and tried to stick it right in the middle of the Ohio State logo, right in the middle of Ohio State's field. And a Buckeye linebacker named Jake Sawyer said, "Not in our house." And of course, all hell broke loose. Because of course, that's what men do. When you win, you celebrate and you trash your opponent. When you lose, you get mad and try to protect your home turf. That's part of what the free-for-all looked like. Players and coaches fighting and beating on each other, drawing blood. Got so heated the cops eventually had to come and use pepper spray to break it up. But that's just all part of the manosphere of college football. That's just what men do. But notice, not all men, just some men. Because some of those players weren't fighting after that game was over. That's Michigan running back Donovan Edwards, who's a born-again Christian. Scored a touchdown in the second quarter and then got hurt. Couldn't play the entire second half, along with three Christians on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Praying. Not fighting. Praying. Publicly. Right out in the open where everybody could see him. Right in front of the other players who were fighting. Praying, giving glory to God, no matter what happened in that game. And people, let me ask you. A football team is a band of brothers that goes to war every single week. That is your tribe. Those are your people. So you don't think there was something in Donovan Edwards that didn't want to be celebrating with his team? And you don't think there was something inside of those three Ohio State players that didn't want to be with their teammates trying to protect their turf? Absolutely there was. But see, there was something inside of those four Christians that was even more important than that, and that's Jesus Christ and the personal relationship that they had with Jesus Christ. So see the difference? This is what men do. This is what men of God do. Making God the priority, regardless of what's going on around them, regardless of what any other men are doing around them. So guys, you confess your sin to God, you put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away, and you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior, you'll be saved and you'll be born again, and you will have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ that He created you to have. And the greatest thing of all, you won't just be a man, you'll be a man of God. First thing that we need to do, guys, to be a man like Joseph, we need to be a man of God. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. Guys, a second thing that we need to do to be a man like Joseph. We not only need to be a man of God, we also need to be obedient to God. And that's also what we see here in verses 22 to 25. Because that is exactly what Joseph did with every single thing that God tells him to do in that dream. Notice Joseph didn't say first, God, I got to get my fantasy football picks in first. I got to get the iPhone 17 first. I got to go hang out with my peeps. No. Verse 24, the nanosecond he woke up from that dream, he canceled the divorce. He moved up the wedding date, got married at the courthouse. And verse 25, he did not have sex with Mary until after Jesus was born. So Jesus would not have to go to an episode of Who's My Daddy on Maury Povich. Long before Nike ever came up with the slogan, Joseph said, just do it. Get her done. Man up. Act like a man. Men of God do everything that God tells them to do. And men, we need to remember that, because everything that God tells us to do is hard. What God told Joseph to do here was hard. Now, most of the pictures you see of the holy couple make Joseph out to look like he's 80 years old, like he's really robbing the cradle. But that's not what it was like. Most Jewish girls in Joseph's day got engaged when they were 12. They were married by 13 or 14. So Joseph was really about 17 or 18 years old, a little older. The guy was always older because the guy had to have a job and a trade and a career before he ever married the girl. And all the dad said, amen. And at first, Mary and Joseph were really poor because they were just starting out. It was hard. And by marrying, getting married to the girl, Joseph was implying that the baby was his when it really even wasn't. And all the trolls on Instagram were calling him Joe and the Hoe. It was hard. But Joseph didn't care what people said. He only cared what God said. And notice, Joseph had self-control when it came to sex. Guys, let me ask you this morning. You got self-control when it comes to sex? And don't tell me you can't live without it, because the only creature on the face of the earth that dies if it doesn't have sex is a female ferret. Because the estrogen builds in them up to the point where they die of aplastic anemia. But guys, you're not a ferret, you're a human being. Amen. And you're not female, you're male, you're a man. You are a man of God with the spiritual gift of self-control. Amen. You say, well, Kevin, you don't know what it's like. I don't. I didn't get married till I was 30. I know exactly what it's like. Hallelujah. Having sex doesn't make you a man. My dog Watson can have sex. Making a baby doesn't make you a man. Right now, New York City rapper Zeddy Wills has 5 different women pregnant all at the same time. If there's not an argument for forced sterilization, I don't know what is. Making a baby doesn't make you a man. Raising a baby is what makes you a man. This guy right here made babies with his wife. And he's raising them to know the Lord. You don't have to tell a real man what a real man is. That's a man of God. What are the steps for a guy becoming a man in America? Get a job, leave home, buy a house, get married, and raise a family. So there's some guys listening to this sermon right now, young men especially, you better get to work. Because if you're a young man, you ought to have at least 2 jobs. Because why not? I had 2 jobs plus went to seminary full time. Graduate earlier. Pay off your debt sooner. Get married younger. Grow up and be a man. Why put it off? Richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos, had his first job when he was 5 years old, castrating bulls on a cattle ranch in Texas. Donald Trump stayed up for 76 hours straight without sleeping, leading up to Election Day because he wanted to make sure he was going to win. Last October the 8th, a man named Doug Bergeron, Peshtigo, Wisconsin, actually shot himself in the chest with a nail gun, a 6-inch nail right into his heart. And he knew it was in his heart because every time his heart would beat, the nail would twitch. Nobody else was home. He didn't have neighbors for miles around. God told him to get in his truck and drive himself to the hospital. So he did. He walked into that hospital on his own 2 feet. They took the nail out. The guy went back to work 2 days later. That is a man of God. Men, listen to me. You don't have to look like a Chippendale dancer to be a man. You don't have to use pepper spray for eye drops like Chuck Norris does to be a man. Just grow up. Grow up and act like a man. Obey the Lord. Do everything that God is telling you to do. Be a man of God. But the problem is there's all kinds of things in America today that keep guys from doing that. In Joseph's day, a boy went from boyhood straight to adulthood and manhood at the age of 13. But today in America, we've got this never-ending interim period of time before a guy is considered to be a man. This interim period of time called perpetual indulgence, with 20-something guys living in their parents' basement, vaping and getting high and watching porn and playing video games and not working. Right now, a record 7 million 20 to 40-year-old men in this country are not working and aren't even looking for a job because they've got Peter Pan syndrome. They don't want to grow up. And if you're a guy and if you're listening to this sermon right now and it's making you mad, you need to listen to it twice. Guys think they're a man because of how much they can drink or how loud they can burp or how fast they can drive or how much meat they can shove through their colon at one time. And do you know who enables all the stupidity? Moms and girlfriends. Well, he can't afford his rent, so I let him move in with me. He doesn't have a car right now, so I'm letting him drive mine. Girlfriend, if he can't even take care of himself, how in the world do you think he's ever going to take care of you? The government enables it. Obamacare now lets guys stay on their parents' insurance till they're 26 years old. Heaven's sakes, Alexander the Great conquered the known world by the time he was 18. Mark Zuckerberg had already created Facebook by the time he was 19. Elon Musk had already invented video games when he was 12. Where's all the real men? There's the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, at a Taylor Swift concert in Ontario, swapping bracelets with 15-year-old girls. He's the Prime Minister of Canada. My God, people, where are the real men today? One out of four guys in Generation Z is now taking their parents with them when they go for job interviews. Last September, a 26-year-old guy in Los Angeles got caught in traffic and called 911 because he had to pee. He called 911. He didn't have a Starbucks cup in that car anywhere. Guys, where are the men? Grow up, act up. Stop depending on government. Stop using mommy as your safety net. Get a job, get married, raise a family, become a real man of God. Amen. But there's guys in America today that can't do that or won't do that because of what's going on in here. Most women will never have any idea what a man has all in his head. And most likely he will never tell you because he can't express it. Or if he does put it out there, he's afraid that he's going to get ignored or made fun of. So guys, clam up. And besides, big boys don't cry, right? Guys, all the stuff that you did that was wrong in the past. All the bad stuff that other people did to you. All the partying, the DUIs. All the girls that you used when you were in high school and never really had any feelings for. The abortion that you made your girlfriend get when you were both in college. That teacher that told you you would never amount to anything. That coach who told you in front of all the other players that you were worthless. Your old man would get drunk and beat you black and blue and then laugh at you and call you a wuss and tell you that you were weak. And all that stuff is still up there, isn't it? affecting the choices that you make and the way you think and the way you live. And your wife dominates you. And your kids ignore you unless they want money. You feel like you're ignored. You feel underappreciated. You don't feel like you matter. You don't feel like a man. And I know some guys are saying, well, Kevin, you don't know what it's like. You don't know my story. You don't know my story. You want to hear mine? See the picture of Christmas 1966 when I was 3 years old? One of my brothers got a wiffle ball set. The other one got a cowboy outfit. See what I got? I got a toy toaster. Because even when I was 3 years old, I already liked to cook and liked to eat. When I was 4 years old, I started playing with a baby doll. When I was 5 years old, my parents got me a toy kitchen set that I played with like I was a little girl. And I was born with a condition called gynecomastia, which causes guys to have enlarged tissue in this part of their body. So as I grew up, I started looking like a girl. When I was 10 years old, I got felt up by a drunk guy in a movie theater because he thought I was a girl. 6th, 7th, and 8th grade PE class changing clothes. Other guys would tell me that I looked like a girl. 12, 13, 14 years old, that really made me feel special. Thank God my parents didn't shoot me up with hormones and put me in a dress. Talk about having an identity crisis. And I love sports, but I was about as athletic as athlete's foot. Little league, I couldn't hit a baseball to save my soul. 7th grade PE class, I couldn't do one chin-up or pull-up. And our PE coach, Larry Hall, told me in front of all the other guys, good God, Garner, we got to get that fat bag of bones on a football field. I wasn't any good at football either. And I was in love with all kinds of girls growing up, but I was never brave enough to actually ask any of them to go on a date. My sophomore year at Illinois Wesleyan University, I was sitting there in college in the library studying when that girl right up there came and dropped a note in front of me on the table. I opened it up. She was asking me if I would take her to her sorority social. And she left the phone number that I was supposed to call. Well, she didn't realize I wasn't normal. Of course I didn't call her. Of course I didn't go. And it's a good thing because come to find out, that social was just a contest for what girl in that sorority could bring the dorkiest looking guy. That made me feel really good too. My grandfather was an alcoholic, and because of that, I was born with a genetic predisposition to addictive behavior. And with me, it was porn, all the way through grade school, all the way through high school. And even though I knew it was wrong, I did it anyway. Because guys, you know, porn makes you feel like a man for a while until the guilt sets in. July 21st, 1984, I got saved, and all of that stopped. After I got out of college, I had people promise me that I would get all kinds of jobs. The editor of the newspaper in Watseka told me that I was his next sports reporter. Then after the interview, he never called me again. Totally ghosted me. I worked at Easy Pickens grocery store in Watseka after I graduated from college. And all kinds of guys I went to college with would come in the store and they'd say, Kevin, didn't you graduate? What are you doing working here? Didn't you get a degree? You talk about feeling like a failure. And after I married Sue, I found out that the gynecomastia meant that I would never be able to father a child or to make a baby. Talk about not feeling like a man. 5 years after I graduated from college, God called me to go to seminary at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. And I had to take a test during orientation, and that test showed that I should never be in ministry to start with. So that was really encouraging. Most of my relatives thought it was a mistake. My mom to this day says I should have been a Spanish teacher instead of a pastor. Thanks, Mom. Started here at Fox River Church, and my friends from high school who knew how shy I used to be would ask me, Kevin, how's it going with your church? How's it really going? Thanks a lot. When Sue and I moved up here to serve this church, Sue's great aunt replaced Sue with somebody else as the executor of her estate, and that cost us hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And all the flack I've gotten for my sermons, people calling me all kinds of names. Guy from our sales said, Kevin Garner's just a used car salesman. One pastor from Morris accused me of heresy and posted this online. I know for a fact Kevin Garner never preaches the gospel. 7 years ago, two elders and an assistant pastor tried to force me out of here, claiming my sermons were destroying Fox River Church. Then the very next year, another staff member tried to do exactly the same thing. All the attacks that Sue and I went through over the years by people who left this church for stupid reasons. I found out that ministry is people making you 1,000 promises they have no intention of keeping. You think you're the only one who's ever gotten rolled? And guys, listen to me. I am not telling you this because I want you to feel sorry for me. I am telling you this to let you know I know exactly what it's like to go through all the things that you went through in the past. And I know exactly what it's like to go through all the things that you are going through right now. Every one of them. And I'm telling you this today. Men, real men of God, obey God. So the first thing you need to do, the most important thing you need to do to obey God, right now you take all those things in your life that are going wrong and turn them over to Jesus Christ so He can start making them right. Because there isn't one single thing that you've ever done, there's not one single thing, guys, that has ever been done to you that Jesus Christ cannot forgive or heal or overcome or bring something good out of it. The world and the devil are trying to tear you down. Jesus Christ, guys, is trying to build you up. So listen. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit who is speaking to you right now and telling you, you don't have to live in regret. You don't have to keep reliving the absolute worst moments of your entire life. Because I am living, breathing proof, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. You give those things to Jesus Christ. Let Him do His job and He will start setting you free. Psalm chapter 55, verse 22. Obey God. Cast your burdens on the Lord. He will sustain you and He will never, ever, ever let you fall. Amen. Guys, the second thing we need to do to be a man like Joseph, we need to be obedient to God. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing that we need to do. Guys, to be a man like Joseph, we not only need to be a man of God, we not only need to be obedient to God, but third, we need to follow God and fulfill the purpose that God has for our lives. Now, when Joseph gives Jesus his name, he is legally adopting him as his own son. And because Joseph was from the line of David, that meant Jesus was also from the line of David. The family line that the Messiah was supposed to come from. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 15. So everything that Joseph does here fulfills prophecy about Jesus Christ coming into the world. And men of God, everything you do fulfills prophecy about taking Jesus Christ into the world. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, sir, I knew you. Before, guy, you were even born, I appointed you and I called you to be a prophet to the nations. That's God's word to men. To be a prophet to the nation, to tell the world about Jesus Christ. Men of God, that is the purpose of your life. Amen. Especially men. When God had to fix this world, He sent a man. Now that God needs to fix this world again, He's already sent a man. These men sitting right here in this church, listen to the sermon right now. And why? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7, you are the image and the glory of God. You are God's representative on earth with far more power and authority and dominion than you can ever imagine. Men, you've got power and authority and dominion over your job and the way that you do it. You've got dominion over your kids' school. Those teachers don't have dominion over your kids. Dad, you do. And what they're taught there and what they're exposed to there. Amen. Men, you have dominion over your own home. And whether or not your kids have a phone and what kind of movies they watch and what kind of music they listen to and what kind of boyfriends and girlfriends walk through the front door of your house. And if they're bad, they're gone. And whether or not you have prayer and Bible study in your home. And if your wife and kids get in the car with you and go to church on a Sunday morning. Husbands and fathers, listen to me. You matter. And you matter a lot. And what you do matters. And the authority and the power and the dominion that God gave you matters more than you will ever know this side of eternity. Amen. And you are totally and completely irreplaceable in your family and in society. So, of course, what does the devil do? He takes all that God-given dominion and authority and power that you have and he calls it toxic masculinity. We don't have toxic masculinity in this country. What we have is a toxic war on masculinity in this country. And you see it everywhere. See the sign? Kill all the men. So many men, so little ammunition. Every TV show today has a dad who's a goomba like Homer Simpson or Peter Griffin on Family Guy. Remember the Kamala Harris campaign commercial?
I'm a man.
I'm a man.
I'm a man, man. And I'm man enough.
I'm man enough to enjoy a barrel-proof bourbon.
Neat.
Man enough to cook my steak rare.
Man enough to deadlift 500 and braid the out of my daughter's hair.
You think I'm afraid to rebuild a carburetor? I eat carburetors for breakfast.
I'm sick of so-called men domineering, belittling, and controlling women just so they can feel more powerful.
That's not how my mama raised me.
I love women.
I love women who support their families.
Women who decide not to have families.
Women who take charge.
And I'm man enough to help them win.
So real men vote for Kamala Harris. No testosterone was used in the making of that ad. I guarantee it. People, what we are witnessing is the physical, mental, and emotional castration of men. And it's everywhere. Because we don't need less masculinity in this country. We need more masculinity in this country. Nobody was bellyaching about toxic masculinity when it was saving the world from Nazism. Ladies, you get rid of toxic masculinity. Who's going to kill your spiders and fix your toilets? Except for Benjamin Franklin, the vast majority of our founding fathers were 20 to 30-year-old men. Thomas Jefferson was only 33 years old when he wrote the Declaration of Independence. Those 20 to 30-year-old something men started a revolution. Most 20 to 30-something men in America today can't even start a lawnmower. Folks, if the real men of God in this country would just start actually using the power and the dominion and the authority that God has given them, things would be so much better. The poverty level would go down. Amen. Illegitimate birth rate would disappear. Social services and the entire welfare system would have to collapse. Crime and abuse and rape and domestic violence. And drugging and thugging and suicide would go down. All kinds of government programs and mental health services wouldn't even be necessary anymore. We don't need bigger government. We just need better men. You fix men, you fix everything else. Men of God, fulfill your purpose. And listen to me. We're going to do that. We better hurry. Because this country is dying. And folks, it is dying because of weak men. Right now, an ex-Marine named Daniel Penny is on trial in New York City for taking down a demonic nutcase named Jordan Neely in the subway in May of 2023. Jordan Neely had already been arrested by the police 8 different times for serious assault. Shouldn't even have been on the streets. And that day he was threatened to kill everybody in that subway train. So to protect everybody else, Daniel Penny got him in a headlock, got him down on the floor, and Jordan Neely died. But expert witnesses said he didn't die because of the headlock. Jordan Neely was high on crystal meth, and crystal meth stopped his heart. That's why Jordan Neely died. So even though Daniel Penny is a real man and he did what any real man was supposed to do when nobody else would do it, the state of New York still wants to put him in prison 15 to life for manslaughter. Weak men trying to stop strong men from being strong. Last week, the Biden administration was arguing in the Supreme Court to try to throw out a Tennessee ban on transgender surgeries for little kids. Folks, you know your country's over. You know the culture is finished when your own government is pushing the Supreme Court for the right to hypersexualize little children and mutilate their bodies to satisfy the psycho fantasies of perverted adults. And get this, the lawyer for the Biden administration is a woman with a beard and a mustache who pretends that she's a man. And the name that she chose for herself is, get this, Chase Strangio. Like Chase and Strange, you can't make this stuff up, people. Here's a part of what she said on CNN.
These are young people who may have known since they were 2 years old exactly who they are, who suffered for 6-7 years before they had any relief. And what's happening here, it's not the kids who are consenting to this treatment, it's the parents who are consenting to the treatment.
Yeah, because everybody knows 2-year-old children are more than capable of making a decision to be castrated and sterilized for the rest of their lives. My God, people, if your 2-year-old boy tells you that he's Superman, do you throw him out the window to see if he can fly? Where are the real men in this country? Last November the 21st, Joe Biden was at the G20 World Leaders Summit, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And this is what he did after he got done with his speech.
So let's preserve this secret place for our time and forever, for the benefit of all humanity. Thank you very, very much.
He just wandered off into the jungle. And because of that, he missed the group photo of all the world leaders. So instead of Joe Biden being in the middle, where the president of the United States is supposed to be, who's in the middle? President Xi, communist dictator of China, who wants to take over the world. The biggest threat to our country in the world is not strong men. The biggest threat to our country in the world is weak men. God started humanity, He started with a man. When God wanted to fix humanity, He started with a man. So whatever the problem is, men are supposed to be part of the solution. Especially here in America. And thank God, thank God, thank God for men. Last November the 5th. Because people, you have no idea. You have no idea how close we really were to losing this country. Last September the 22nd, Joe Biden signed the United Nations Pact for the Future, the WHO Pandemic Treaty, which calls for all nations, including the United States, to surrender their national sovereignty and all the rights and freedoms of their individual citizens to the United Nations. So the United Nations takes complete control over the United States of America whenever Dr. Fauci and the New World Order release the next pandemic. The United Nations, the most genocidal, terroristic, communist, corrupt international organization on the planet, in cahoots with the unelected, unaccountable World Economic Forum. That is hell-bent on depopulating the planet and taking over the world through the 2030 agenda. Folks, that pandemic treaty is the platform for one world government. And notice, not one press release, not one press conference, not one single thing in the mainstream media about it. Why? Because you weren't supposed to know. You weren't supposed to find out about it at all. See what was going to happen if Kamala Harris got elected? And right now we're this close to World War III because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are hell-bent on arming Ukraine to the teeth. And now they're letting Ukraine fire U.S.-made long-range missiles into Russia. And Vladimir Putin has now threatened to retaliate with nuclear warheads. And every nation in Europe right now is warning its people about nuclear war. Sweden is passing out millions and millions of pamphlets to the citizens of that country, telling them what to do in the event of a nuclear strike. Finland is now building a wall along their border with Russia. Germany has already agreed to be the international hub for soldiers from all over the planet, the staging ground for the eventual invasion of Mother Russia. See what was going to happen if Kamala Harris got elected president? If Kamala Harris had been elected, America would have been finished. Even more wide open borders with 40 million more illegals over the next 4 years. And with chain migration, there would have been over 100 million illegals in this country by the year 2050. And they would have been given the right to vote, so there'd be no more swing states or red states. And every state would be like Illinois and California. Kamala Harris would have used executive orders to institute the National Abortions Act and the Equality Act. That would have forced totally unrestricted abortion and LGBTQ rights on the country with no religious exemptions for Christians at all. So much for religious freedom. Democrats would have added 6 more states to give them a permanent control of the Senate. They would have passed the National Voting Rights Act that would make the federal government in charge of all elections instead of the states, guaranteeing permanent control of the House of Representatives. And they would have packed the Supreme Court so the leftist majority would rubber stamp everything the deep state wanted them to. So America would have been turned into a Marxist hellhole without any possibility of ever changing it back. People, do we have any idea how close we really came to losing this country? But glory be to God in the highest. Kamala Harris did not win that election because last November the 5th, a majority of Americans stood up and said, no, we will not go gentle into that good night. We will not hand this country over to communism and the New World Order. Government of the people, by the people, and for the people will not perish from the face of the earth. Majority of Americans have voted no. They voted no to wokeism. They voted no to all the CRT and the DEI and the LGBTQ insanity. They voted to save this country by reelecting Donald Trump. Amen. The greatest political comeback in the history of this nation. And only the second president since Grover Cleveland to ever serve 2 non-consecutive terms. And do you know who's responsible for Donald Trump getting elected the most? Men. Now, of course, women voted for Donald Trump too, but it was far more men than women. More first-time voters were men. More people who voted this time who hadn't voted for years were men. 53% of white men voted for Donald Trump. 46% of Latino and Hispanic men voted for Trump. 1 out of every 5 black men voted for Trump. Asians voted for Trump. Even Amish men. registered to vote for the very first time by the tens of thousands to vote for Donald Trump. That's what helped us win North Carolina and Pennsylvania, big time. So men, you did it. You did it. Every single one of you men who wore a MAGA hat or a Trump t-shirt to put a Trump sign in your yard. Every one of you who pulled a lever for Donald Trump, you did it. You saved this country. You voted for righteousness and the rule of law and reality and sanity. You voted for religious freedom. You voted for women's rights. You voted for children. You voted for the unborn. You voted for religious freedom in the church and the kingdom of God. You voted to save this country and all of Western civilization. So right along with the greatest, most famous dates in American history, July 4, 1776, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, April 9, 1865, the end of the Civil War, June 6, 1944, D-Day, the Allied invasion of Europe, goes the date November 5, 2024, when men in this country stood up and voted for Donald Trump and gave us a once-in-a-generation, once-in-a-lifetime chance to kill the deep state and drain the swamp and take this nation back to its founding principles. For years to come, if Jesus Christ doesn't come first. Men, you did it. Amen, amen. You did it. But know this. You are hated for it. With a purple, prickly pear passion. You are hated with a hate that is hotter than the surface of the sun. Wacko leftist activist Aaron Stone, who's already moved to Italy after Donald Trump won the election, says this about you MAGA men.
Those good men must be very aware that a lot of your friends are not good men. And you can't continue to pretend that your friends are good men when they are not good men. And you must be very clear-minded and understand that your friends who are not good men are dangerous, violent men. And you have to keep them away from your daughters, your wives, and your girlfriends.
Now, MAGA men, what she is saying there is absolutely ridiculous because you are not bad men, you are good men. And what you prayed for and what you worked for and what you voted for is good men. And it's already proven to be good. So any leftist, listen to the sermon right now. Us MAGA men have something to say to you, so listen up loud and clear. You missed! Our pronouns are we won. And all over America right now, people are doing the Trump dance to celebrate. Everybody feel the vibe? Throwing it down here at Fox River Church. Celebrating. MAGA men, if you're in this church right now, stand up. Stand up and take a bow. Stand up and pat yourself on the back. Ladies in this church, let's hear it for the boys. They saved this country. But men, now that you saved this country, God is calling you to do something even more important than that. Amen. And that's to save the people in this country. Amen. And that is not Donald Trump's job. Donald Trump was called to make America great again. You are called to make America born again and godly again. Amen. Donald Trump wasn't called to do that. Jesus does not say to the President of the United States, you are the light of the world. Jesus says that to us Christians. And especially us men. What God did to save this country, He wanted to do it through men. What God wants to do to save the people in this country, He also wants to do that through men. And the question is this morning, where are those men? Where are those men who are going to stand up and stand in the gap for the salvation of millions and millions of people in America? They at Winter Jam? Are they with Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers? Are they at Triple X Church? No, because I am standing up here this morning and I'm telling you those men who are going to save the people in this country are right here in this church. Amen. They're here, sitting in this church, listening to this sermon. Staring back at me right now. And I know what some of you guys, I know what some of you men are thinking. You say, Kevin, I can't do that. You are the image and the glory of God. Amen. Well, Kevin, you are the image and the glory of God. But Kevin, I've been divorced. I was molested when I, you are the image and the glory of God. But Kevin, I've got a porn problem. You are the image and the glory of God. Amen. But Kevin, people think that there is not one single person anywhere on the face of the earth, men, that can tell you who you really are. God created you. He saved you. Only God can tell you who you really are. Amen. So I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what's been done to you in the past. You're not a queer. You're not a perv. You're not a wuss. You're not a loser. You are a born-again, spirit-filled man of God, washed and sanctified and justified and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are the image and the glory of God, God's representative on earth, the closest thing to God that other people will ever see or hear on this earth. All the guys in this room right now, I want you to stand up. Every one of you with an XY chromosome, stand up where you're at. Now take a look. Do you know what God says about every man in this room? These are my beloved sons with whom I am well pleased. Now, are they human? Absolutely. That's why they need the Holy Spirit to do this job that God has called them to do. And right now I want every single man to come up to the front of this church and stand on this stage. Every one of you. Every XY chromosome in this room. Yeah, I know you don't want to, but do it. Because we're going to pray for you. And we're going to pray that you get filled with the Holy Spirit to fulfill this calling that God has placed on your life. Every man in here. In these last days. Get up there, stand behind. You can stand in the front if you want to. I praise God there's this many men in this church. That's a start. Most churches today are a man desert. You don't see any of them. Got serious men here today. Serious men are going to cry out to God and be filled with the Holy Spirit to do the job that God has called them to do. They saved this country. Now God wants them to save the people in this country. Yeah, that little guy too. Can make a line in front, line around the wall. Men of God standing in the presence of God, asking Him to give them the power they need to do what God has called them to do. Okay, first of all, guys, as you're looking out there, look at all the wives and the daughters and the sisters and the mothers and the grandmothers who are staring at you and smiling. And you know why they're smiling? Because they are tickled pink when they see you be the spiritual leaders that God created you to be. And ladies, let me ask you, have you ever seen a better group of looking guys in your entire life? There you go. Amen. The words are on the back screen. And we're going to sing this song as a prayer that the Holy Spirit would fill us up. And fit us to fulfill this calling that God has placed in our lives. Not only save the country, but save the people in this country by bringing Jesus Christ into this nation. Okay? Les is going to lead us. All of us guys, let's sing together. Women, you can sing it too, right along with us.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, hold me, fill me, use me, O Spirit of the living God.
Sing that again.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Fill them up. Do your work through them.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Yes.
Melt me.
Okay, let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for every one of these men standing here today. They are men of God because they know you and they have been redeemed by you. I just pray blessing, Lord, into every single one of their lives, that they would exercise that God-given dominion and power and authority wherever they go. Lord, to show the love of Christ and to take a stand when they need to take a stand. Just pray, Lord, for a blessing over their marriages, their relationships with their kids, their grandkids, with their neighbors, that people would see Christ in them and they would fulfill that purpose, Lord, that you placed on their lives to bring you into this world to so many people who do not know you. Thank you, Lord, for using them to save this country. More importantly, Lord, how you're going to use them to save the people in this country. All these things we ask in your name and thank you. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We just thank you for every man here, every young man here, Lord, the plans that you have for their lives. Just pray, Lord, that everyone would know you as their Savior. Lord, and if they haven't made that commitment, they would come forward today and they would pray that prayer and get in the game, get in the battle, Lord, that needs to be fought until you part the clouds and come again. Now we pray as you've taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.